The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
With the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. It's a tip drill, turned up Fat Tuesday edition of the Rodcast. Ray, do you celebrate Fat Tuesdays?
No, man, I really don't. I wish I did. I never really got into it. I don't know why.
I know there's a religious component, so people don't start hitting me up. I already know there's a religious component to it. All right, my girlfriend is Catholic, so I understand all that. But Fat Tuesday, a lot of people celebrate it. Today is actually Fat Tuesday. So
yeah.
Downtown will actually be pretty. I believe there may be beads thrown and there may be boobs exposed. Boobs with consent, by the way. All right. No, we don't. Yeah. All boobs should be consensual boobs. And yeah, I believe there will be some consensual boobage and beads thrown out. Maybe even when it's cold, on 6th Street downtown.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Hey.
I always found it fascinating that you can get consensual boobage with beads that you can buy at the dollar store. You know what I mean? Like, that is a better bargain than gentlemen's clubs.
Gentlemen's clubs, really,
you still got to pay to get in. You got to pay, dollar to tip. So, hell, you're still going to spend at least $10 to $12 just to see a little boobage. Dude, you throw beads out.
$5, not even $5.
That's why I
spend like $2.
That's why Mardi Gras is amazing. Is to me just amazing, because consensual boobage can be enjoyed by just throwing out some beads that honestly are worth about 10 cents each. I don't know.
Yeah.
If that. It's a beautiful thing. Like, that is America.
See, Fat Tuesday is for the real heathens out there, because I have a hard time going out on a Tuesday night when I got to wake up for work the next day.
It's true.
You got to really be out there to get it.
That is a valid point. But you know what? I have at one point, and I'm not now because I've been domesticated. I was at one point a heathen, so I enjoyed those times. I remember, consensual boobage for some beads thrown out there. I'm like, really? What is going on? Why don't I have these beads? So there you go. It's a beautiful thing. Fat Tuesdays, Mardi Gras. We know it's all connected. So happy Fat Tuesday to the folks out there who do actually celebrate it. Ray, one more question before we get into the headlines and the rundown. V-Day. All right. Are you ready for V-Day? I call it V-Day like it's legit because, you know what I mean? Valentine's Day is tomorrow. It's less than 24 hours away. Do you have a plan? It ain't got to be elaborate. Do you have a plan, though? A plan of attack? Do you have a game plan going forward?
I'm in pretty much the same boat as yesterday.
Ooh.
It's still coming together.
You got to come through in the clutch like Kobe.
Yeah. I'm way better when the pressure's on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll see. All right. There you go. Well, we will see.
Yeah, we will.
Tomorrow, this time, we will know.
If I'm single tomorrow, we'll know.
We will know if you are Tom Brady in the fourth quarter or you are D. Rose. You know what I mean? We will know. We will figure it out. By the way, D. Rose has not been picked up off waivers, but that's a different discussion altogether. So we'll talk a little Valentine's Day. Guys, we'll keep bringing it up just so you remember, so you don't go home tonight and then have that, that freak out when you wake up and realize, holy Chicago, I got nothing planned, and I just woke up next to the woman I'm supposed to be helping to celebrate Valentine's Day. And she ain't got to have she'll have something for you, but she ain't got to have a damn thing for you. You the one that's got to show up here. We talked about this, all right? It's the football season slant, all right? She lets you watch Monday night football, Sunday night football, college football on Saturdays. Hell, if you're interested in high school football, hell, here in Texas, Friday also taken over by football. You did that for like 6 months. All right, and now it's time to pay the piper. You got to pay up. That's the debt.
Definitely.
The debt that must be repaid by all men is Valentine's Day. The debt of being, essentially, it being kind of a one-track season, at least your mind, your one-track mind during football season. It's all about football. You got to repay that debt. That's part of Valentine's Day. So, guys, get on it. All right, get on it. All right, we got a ton of stuff to get into on the show. Next segment, actually, we'll have what I call my I'm Not Racist But segment. There are a lot of conversations that involve race that we must discuss. And one of them is, and Ray's already loaded up the sound. I'm glad he got it.
Yeah.
Ray's a Kobe Bryant fan. Probably one of the biggest Kobe Bryant fans I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, definitely.
He was a Kobe Bryant fan. Jordan Clarkson, who I'm assuming either was mentored at one point by Kobe or played with Kobe.
Yeah, they played together.
They played together.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're a Lakers fan. You know that. He revealed something about Kobe Bryant that I bet Kobe Bryant is not happy about him revealing it. And only I would pay attention to it because I'm just, you know, a nerd. I'm just like scrolling, doing research. Yeah. But he basically revealed that Kobe Bryant does not respect light-skinned brothers.
You know, I can't wait to get into this because I got a little bit of a take.
It is so good. It is too – I cannot believe it's just out there and nobody's talked about it. Oh, it's really good. All right, Jordan Clarkson, newest member. So he will open up our I'm not a racist but conversation about how Kobe Bryant has no respect for light-skinned brothers on the basketball court. No respect for him. All right, so we'll get into that. Also, the balls. Speaking of light-skinned brothers.
Yep.
that Kobe Bryant has no respect for. We'll get into the balls, too. All right. Apparently, there's been a declaration made by LaVar Ball that has shocked the NBA. And it's really, really good. It is not, I don't think it's shocking, but NBA feels like, oh, I cannot believe you would say something like that. Honestly, I think this was all part of the plan. I think everything is going according to plan. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's like the evil emperor. I think everything for LaVar Ball, he's like, oh, this is perfect. Everything is going according to plan. All right, so we'll get into that too. Also, Steve Kerr did something that apparently is really controversial. People calling him arrogant, calling him, kind of a bully for doing this. And I think it's just genius. I think he's just a damn good coach. And I think he may have just revolutionized the NBA with something he did in a 46-point blowout.
Yeah, last night.
The Phoenix Suns, the team that drafted him and also the team that he was once the GM for. So we'll get into that because they are saying that, oh, Steve Kerr, man, he's arrogant. He's a pissant. Oh, I found a way to use it.
There you go.
Those people are calling him an arrogant little pissant. All right? All right? There you go. All right? They're calling him that. You can call a grown man a pissant. You shouldn't call a child a pissant.
No, definitely not.
That's why you'll get suspended. But calling a grown man a pissant, I could do that. They're calling Steve Kerr a pissant. All right, so we'll get into why they're calling him a pissant a little bit later on. Also, Cowboys, I want to get into some Cowboys discussion. We'll talk Texans as well in the show. Good news for Texans fans out there. There's a checklist for Cowboys fans that we got to go through. Texas basketball discussion, Texas football news, notes, and nuggets. We'll also get to them. In fact, after we get out the rundown here, we'll go behind the burnt orange curtain, talk some Texas basketball, also talk some Texas football, too. All right, so let's not waste any more time. You can get in touch with the show. Hit us up on the Specs text line. 512-337-3776. 512-337-3776. That's how you do it. Hit me up at Rod Baberson in the Twitterverse. My man Ray back there doing his thing, making sweet, sweet love to the soundboard, twisting and tweaking the dials. Hit him up at Ray from the 361. Let's get into it. Let's do the damn thing. It's time for the rundown.
It's time!
These are the top headlines of the day. It's time for the rundown.
The rundown is always brought to you by our good friends at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. TopGun.net, that's with two N's, is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. A disappointing third straight loss for the Texas men's basketball team. They lose 74-73 to the Baylor Bears in double overtime. They fought, but they still lost. Now they are 5-8 in the Big 12, 15-11 overall. Now people are questioning Shaka Smart's effectiveness as a coach and whether he can lead the Longhorns to the promised land where they need to be. We'll get into that discussion when we talk Texas basketball and we go behind the burnt orange curtain. But Mo Bamba, his 13th double-double of the season at 16 points, 16 rebounds, 4 blocks. He showed up. Dylan Osadkowski and Curran Roach both had 15 points each. The high scorer of the game and for the Baylor Bears, Matt Stone, the senior, with 26 points. He was basically the game changer for them. He was their big playmaker, led them to that victory. We'll talk more about this, but a disappointing third straight loss for Texas. And now the next five games for Texas, they got to play number 23 OU twice. They got to play them at OU, and they also also play OU at home. They have K-State that they have to play as well. They have number 13 Kansas. They have to play at Kansas, at K-State as well. And they got number 20 West Virginia at home. So it's a really, really, kind of a murderous row, really, in the Big 12 of teams they have to play just to get themselves in a conversation to make the tournament. And right now, the tournament we may be talking about is not the tournament for March Madness. It's the NIT. And hell, ain't no guarantee they can make the NIT.
Nope, definitely not.
No disrespect, but that ain't no, there's no guarantee that could happen if they continue on this descent. So we'll talk about that when we go behind the burner's curtain.
Yeah, they got two tough road games ahead of them, man. And they've been bad on the road. So we'll see what happens. So going on back to the Winter Olympics, looks like things haven't really changed a whole lot since yesterday. Norway is still in the lead with 11 total medals, but Germany has the most gold medals out there with 5. USA is still in 5th place with 6 total medals, 3 gold medals, 1 silver, and 2 bronze. So, yeah, the Winter Olympic Games are still underway. Did you see that that video that was sent to us for curling?
Yes, I did. I did. And you know what? I retweeted it, too. Right now, it's up on my timeline, at Rod Babers, and I'm on my Ray favorite as well, at Ray from the 361. One of our listeners, one of our loyal listeners of the Horn and of the Rodcast, basically video their definition, a video display of their definition of curling at the house, hanging out. Yeah. And you know what? I think it's pretty dead on. I think they hit the nail right on the head. To me, it looks, and they're using a Roomba.
Yeah, they use a Roomba and a Swiffer.
There you go. And you know what? I think it's Dad's way of helping, making the young man help with the chores.
Yep, exactly.
It's a smart way. You know what I mean? So kudos to them and kudos to him. No question about
it.
Yeah,
yeah. Our listeners should send us more videos like that. Horn Home Olympics and that, and we'll post it. We'll repost it.
I retweeted. I was like, oh, that's my favorite video of the day. It's fantastic. You know what? I got a Roomba and I got a Swiffer. You know what I mean? I'm going to like
I might do it.
You know what I mean? Entertain myself. No question about it. But the Winter Olympics, there are a couple of really, really cool stories in the Winter Olympics that we'll get to a little bit later on. Two of the youngest gold medal winners, I believe, in history of USA Olympics have come in this Winter Olympics. So we'll get into that, too. I think there are some really – remember yesterday I said we're gonna dive into Winter Olympic storylines. I'll just try to make them interesting. All right, we'll get into that a little bit later on. All right, here is bad news. I don't know if it's really bad news for Spurs fans, but LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be out until after the All-Star break. Spurs have been dealing with a lot of injuries, but the latest is that LaMarcus Aldridge, he is going to be out till after the All-Star break. So I think that's more of a cautionary thing for Popovich and the team, considering with Kawhi out, he is the guy. If you're going to make that run until Kawhi is healthy, you got to make sure that LaMarcus Aldridge stays healthy, or your seeding's going to be so bad, you're going to be out of it essentially before it even starts. So I think this is more precautionary. But we'll see after the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's another Team LeBron member going down, man. I don't know what's going on. There's a curse. There's a little bit of LeBron.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with the LeBron team.
Yeah. It's a sore right knee is what they're saying. They say it's routine treatment, but I didn't think about the LeBron angle. Damn. What's going on with that? That's weird. This is a bad luck season for LeBron. But
it really is.
The new look LeBrons are, and they play the Thunder tonight.
They got the Thunder tonight.
Cleveland Cavaliers play the Thunder tonight. We'll see if Melo is going to be healthy. Westbrook, I believe Melo missed the last game, Westbrook and Paul George. That'll be a really good game because that big three for the Oklahoma City Thunder has meshed and it has fused together way better than anybody ever anticipated, to the point where Paul George is thinking about staying.
Yeah.
Like Paul George, remember he's like, oh, Paul George is going to stay there and then he's going to go to the Lakers. Everybody understands it, foregone conclusion. That's not the case anymore. He's thinking about staying in Oklahoma. You know how good things have to be for you to think about living in Oklahoma permanently? Seriously? Like, that's how good. He's thinking about L.A. and Oklahoma. He's like, I might stay in Oklahoma. Like, wow. I mean, my mind is blown from that. All right. So, all right, let's continue with the headlines.
Yeah, so speaking about the Spurs, they lost last night to the Jazz 101-99. That's their fourth loss in 5 games. So it is a little bit of a rough streak for them going right now. So hopefully they can get LaMarcus Aldridge back and continue to, make a run for the play, stay in a solid position for seeding in the playoffs. Because right now, they have been hurting a little bit with injuries. There are a couple games tonight for Texas team. San Antonio will be in Denver. Houston will be in Minnesota. That should actually be a really good game. I'm surprised that one's not going to be televised. But with Cleveland playing in Oklahoma City, I think that one's a little bit more of a national attention. And what else? Sacramento is going to be in Dallas tonight as well.
Yeah, no question about it. And we'll talk about this later on the show, but apparently there have been approved plans to renovate the Astrodome. There's a $105 million project to basically make the Houston Astrodome a facility for parking and, I don't know, for like indoor entertainment, I should say. I don't know exactly what they're going to do with it, but apparently the decision was a go-ahead before the design and eventual construction of a project that would raise the ground level 2 floors to fit in roughly 1,400 parking spots and transform the Astrodome, former eighth wonder of the world, into like a venue for festivals and conferences and concerts and that kind of thing.
I think that'll be cool.
We'll talk about this. I'm a Houstonian. I got to tell you, I got some mixed feelings about this. So we'll get into it. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, honestly, I'm not against that, but we'll get into it because I think there are a lot of layers to it. And I got a personal attachment to the Astrodome because I'm from H-Town. Speaking of H-Town, the Rockets released Troy Williamson to make room for Joe Johnson.
Yeah, and he was a good player, man. I mean, he wasn't a great player last year. He was jumping in and out of the G League, kind of playing back and forth in those roles. So, I mean, supposedly he's going to have interest once he's released. So we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, that is the rundown brought to you by good friends at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. TopGun.net with two N's is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. Okay, let's go behind the burnt orange curtain. We'll talk some Texas sports. We'll talk Texas basketball. We'll also get into a couple of football topics real quick as well. All of that and more. Let's do it right now. Get behind the burnt orange curtain.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind curtain?
All right. Texas basketball is the first topic of discussion, and the loss to Baylor, 3 in a row now for Texas, and it was as disheartening as any of the losses. They started out that game in an abysmal fashion. They started out the game basically 2 of 14 shooting. or 1 of 13. I mean, it was like whatever you want to say. It was one of the worst starts for Texas all year long. Maybe the worst start for them all year long. Fought back, obviously got themselves back in the game. Mo Bamba, as you talked about, had his 13th double-double of the season. And, you know, now this is a team that is now, I mean, they're fighting for their tournament lives. Hell, they're fighting for any postseason life, period. Whether it be the NIT or if they could go on the run, which a lot of people don't see in the last 5 games because they have to play Oklahoma twice, who's ranked. They got to go to K-State. They got to go to number 13, Kansas. They got West Virginia, number 20 at home. But still, it is a Herculean task of a team that has not really shown us that they can reach that ceiling yet to ask them to try to win 4 of the next 5 or win all of those. So I still believe that this is not a disappointment. This is not a failure of a season because you did win more games. But if you don't make the tournament, it is the second year in a row you've had a lottery pick and didn't make the tournament. That's disappointing. Like, that is, there's no way to sugarcoat it. That's bad. Like, that, you know what I mean? That means that you're not able to find a way to maximize that talent that you have on the floor. And one and done's are reality for everybody. So we're like, oh, one and done, that's tough to deal with. Mm-hmm. They're reality for everybody. You want one and done's, okay? You want them. Yeah. Everybody wants one and done's. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's just the way it is. Yes, they break your heart, but that's the way. That'd be like saying you don't want to date Beyonce for a year because she's going to break up with you. I will date Beyonce for a year. Mm-hmm. I will take it. I will take that heartbreak. I will deal with it. I'll deal with it. Scarlett Johansson wants to date you for a year, but she's going to break up with you. I will deal with it, okay? I'll deal with the heartbreak. I'll happily. Yep. It's all
good.
You got
a lot of great perks for a year.
Right? For a year, a lot of great perks. Think about what your life could be. It just improved in that 1 year. That's like saying, all right, we just shouldn't go off the one and none. No, that's ridiculous. That's asinine, all right? But I will say it is disappointing that Shaka, his best season, it's kind of like Charlie Strong, right? The best season that he's had to this point will be a team that he largely inherited, you know, from the regime that was fired. Like that I think that's part of what's sitting uneasy with Longhorn basketball fans. It's like, so did we actually upgrade? Did we upgrade? You start thinking, did you upgrade? And most Longhorn football fans don't believe they upgraded after from Matt to Charlie. Now, it may have been a necessary bridge, a necessary step to get to Tom Herman, who's going to lead you to the promised land. But it was not necessarily an upgrade. It was just an inevitable, necessary step. You know what I mean? And you want to upgrade, but that's hard to do. So I don't know. And maybe you can't after Mack Brown, who's one of the greatest coaches in the history of college football, but also second greatest coach in the history of Texas football. And then you have Rick Barnes, who is the greatest coach in the history of Texas basketball. Maybe you can't upgrade after those guys. I think Longhorn fans would like to believe, like, hey, man, we can upgrade. It's Texas. We should be able to upgrade after that. And that necessarily may not be happening, but maybe it's the necessary bridge you need. I'm not on the, hey, you got to fire Shaka Smart right now. I think that's a little bit ridiculous. Since we're firing every coach that doesn't really meet your expectations. But I'm not going to disenfranchise and totally ignore the people who believe that Texas needs to move on. Texas basketball needs to move on. I'm sure they have really credible points that they make. But at this point, I think for Texas basketball, like it's there are some things that they are improving on. It's incremental progress, and I don't think it's at the rate that a lot of Longhorn fans would like to have seen. It's interesting though, because you know Mo Bamba will be gone, and Mo Bamba's improving actually. Mo Bamba's getting better. They're not maximizing him enough. They need to go to the hole more. They need to attack the zone, attack the basket, because you have a beast there for second chance points and yep. putbacks and everything. Like you should just attack the basket with him. Like you know what I mean? Like get to the rim. And Texas shooting a lot of three pointers, even though I know that's where the game is going. With Mo Bamba, who is your primary asset, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You should get to the rim more.
Yeah.
So that he is automatically involved, even when you can't just start the run the offense through him. So that's kind of my thing, too.
Yeah, you know, and I felt the same way, especially with the last shot that was taken of the game. I feel like, you know, you have some time on the clock. You're able to take the ball all the way down the court. Why force a shot, you know? Pass the ball around, get it to Mo Bamba, and let him score an easy bucket. Instead, I feel like the last shot was kind of forced, and it didn't even hit the rim. It hit the bottom of the backboard, you know?
There's a lot of forced offense with this team. And yeah. I'll say this, as I'm talking about Texas football and Texas basketball, and I've been saying this for a while. Man, these programs, Texas basketball and Texas football, this year almost mirror images of one another. Yep. Texas basketball is Texas football's doppelganger. I mean, it's like bad offense. Texas basketball right now is last in scoring offense in the Big 12. They're eighth in field goal percentage in the Big 12. They are last in three-point percentage in the Big 12, last in assists per game in the Big 12. And everybody remembers how bad Texas offense was. I think in the Big 12, Texas offense, scoring offense, football I'm talking about now, because we're going back and forth, this year was, I think, seventh in the Big 12. Like, it was one of the worst rushing offenses in the country and also in the Big 12, too. And the Texas basketball offense for men's basketball, it reflects that. There's similar struggles. And Texas football, they really hurt themselves a lot this year. Like, they really, in terms of penalties, Texas was 114th in penalty yards given up. There were like 128 programs in the FBS. They were 114th in penalty yards given up, 106th in penalties per game. They were 103rd in sacks allowed, 110th in tackles for loss allowed. That means they hurt themselves a lot. They put themselves behind the chains a ton. And what is the equivalent to that in basketball? Free throw shooting. I mean, Texas is last in free throw shooting in the Big 12.
It is, but they had a great free throw shooting night last night.
They shot like 81%.
Yeah, it's some clutch free throws.
They did. I know. It doesn't add up in terms of, like, but you're right. They had a great night. It was an aberration. That was an outlier. That's not what they've lost games because of the free throw shooting. We know that numerous games so far this year. So they hurt themselves a lot. Bad offense. They're elite on the defensive side of the ball. Elite defensive personnel, guys that can shut down on the perimeter, Mamba inside. Texas defense was the same. The Texas basketball team leads the Big 12 in blocks. They're third in scoring defense. They're second in three-point defense. And Texas defense, Texas football's defense, rushing defense, they were top 10. They were eighth. Third down defense, they were third. Fourth down defense, they were seventh. I mean, that defense was one of the best in the country. And Texas basketball's defense is one of the best in the country. Questionable coaching decisions. Like, I saw Sed Golden, the Austin American Statesman, tweet this out. Why is Mo Bamba not underneath the basket during the free throw, any free throw attempt? Why would he be anywhere else other than underneath the basket?
Yeah, he stands where the point guard usually stands, out in the back.
And I was like, damn, I didn't think of it. And Sed Golden knows basketball. I used to do a show with Sed. Sed's basketball IQ is off the charts. And I think that's kind of his favorite sport. But it was a great observation. I'm like, yeah. It's like, to me, it's the equivalent is Colin Johnson, who's a 6'6 wide receiver for Texas, not being in there in the red zone. It's like, you got a 6'6" wide receiver, and you don't want to put him there when you're on the goal line to throw a fade? Really? That doesn't even make sense. Even to have him in there as a decoy to freak people out. And if you have Mamba in there, Mo Bamba. I say Mamba now. I call him Mamba like he's Kobe. Mo Bamba in there, all right, who is rebounding a missed free throw, I'm sure they're going to devote more personnel to trying to box him out because he's such a freak. So, yeah, questionable coaching decisions, bad offense. They hurt themselves a lot. They're their own worst enemy. And elite defense. Texas football and Texas basketball this year, they're essentially the same program.
Pretty much.
Right? They're borderline average or right along average, right? Texas basketball is right there. They're basically an average basketball program.
They get you thinking they're going to do something great, and then they fall.
Right? The close games with really premier opponents. Like, ooh, we almost beat USC. Ooh, we almost beat Oklahoma. Ooh, almost beat Oklahoma State. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, man. And then you lose the teams you're supposed to beat. You know what I mean? You lose it to TCU. You lose to K-State. You're supposed to beat those teams. Texas lose to Maryland. Lose to Texas Tech. They're the same team. And that's Longhorn fans are so frustrated, and I feel you, and I echo your frustration, is because I already watched this movie. I saw this movie already, Shaka. I saw this movie. It was Tom Herman's. I've seen this movie already, man, and I know how it ends. All right? And hopefully, there's some postseason love, because Tom Herman got the postseason love, made a bowl game, and then ended the season on an optimistic note. And I'm hoping Shaka can do the same thing. I still stand by my opinion. This is not a failure of a season because they're a better team. It's just, it's not a success either. You're in purgatory, which is even more frustrating. You'd rather be bad and know you're bad. You'd rather be good and know you're good. You don't want to be insecure, which is what we are. We're insecure. Longhorn football fans, basketball fans, we're insecure. Are we good? You know what I mean? It's like the Ron Burgundy. All right, we're good? We don't know. All right, we'll come back. We'll go behind the burner's curtain again in the 2 o'clock because I got some football topics I want to hit. When we come back, we'll talk about why. I'm not racist, but moment of the day. Why Kobe Bryant does not like light skinned brothers. All right, he doesn't respect light skinned brothers playing basketball. This is a fact now, according to one of his former teammates. We'll get into that. We have the sound to prove it. All that and more when we return. This is the Rodcast right here on the Horn 104.9 and AM 1260.
Proud of our only son. Two chains, I have always worn more than one. Yeah, I'm real. I'm ill. You know you gotta feel. You popping pills.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Simone on text line said I might have said Texas played Oklahoma twice. I apologize. That was not true. They play Oklahoma in Oklahoma State. The state of Oklahoma, I kind of throw into the same mix, so I apologize. We're talking about the Texas basketball team and the struggles, obviously, losing three in a row. And they have really a murderous row of opponents left in the Big 12, which a lot of people are saying maybe the most competitive college basketball conference in the country. Ray, you brought up something interesting because I didn't get a chance to watch the game live because I DVR. I didn't watch it live because I had to go to a Bud Light party, which was damn good. All right, so I appreciate the folks at Brown Distributing for inviting me to the Bud Light party, hanging out. So I didn't get a chance to watch it live, but you said that was like, was it an Andrew Jones tribute?
Yeah. So SportsCenter, Sports Center basically had this whole Andrew Jones tribute ready for as soon as the Texas game finished, they would go on SportsCenter and they would play the tribute. And they also went into like some Kevin Durant UT history and things like that. So they had a whole bunch of things planned for UT basketball after the game. Assuming that if they would win, I guess. I don't know. But, after seeing the loss and then going into that stuff, it didn't really feel the same. It didn't give you the same feeling that you probably would have if they would have won. It was a little bit harder to watch. But you could see the guys when they were being interviewed about Andrew Jones, like they love that guy. Love him. And they're just hoping that he's able to get better and play again.
And Baylor had a nice showing. I think they had something on either back of their warm-ups or something on the T-shirt. Yeah. They had the AJ1 thing. Yeah. So I want to say every team in the Big 12 that has played Texas since the news has shown some type of
I think in the opening or in the when the players are announced, they'll have some like you said, some AJ1 or something like that on their jerseys,
really
their sweatsuits
cool.
or something like that.
But we talked about this yesterday, and obviously a tribute to Andrew Jones and a jersey tribute or something, very different things. We're talking about Andrew Jones, who is fighting for everything, and people supporting him for that. you know, those tributes should be during the game or before the game because, you know, when teams lose and, you know, I mean, like some fans are put off by the tribute or may not be emotionally invested in the tribute. Yes, you may turn because of your team's, you know, performance or, you know, their level of success. So my thing is, yeah, have that. It's like the Paul Pierce thing. Yeah. You're going to play LeBron James in Boston, and you are so cocky and arrogant and really so sure of yourself that you're going to win that you have the tribute post-game? No, halftime, pre-game. All tribute. No tribute should be in the post-games.
Mm-mm.
No tribute for any team because you just never know. And once again, you never know. All right, proving that again. All right, one of the things that came up from that Texas basketball game, in frustration, which I think was a visible representation of how Longhorn fans felt at the time, one of the basketball players punched the chair, which made the rounds and went viral.
Yeah,
we don't even know who this guy is. Somebody's got to figure out who the guy is who punched the chair.
Yeah, I was looking for BK. I know he would know, but I think he's already left.
We love this guy. Like this guy. Hey, we love whoever you are that punched the chair. If you have people that know who he is, put the vibe out there. Longhorn fans love him. Like he does not need to hang his head in shame. We appreciate him punching the chair. We all felt the same way. We probably punched our chairs. I think if you watched that game entirely, you punched or kicked some inanimate object.
Yeah,
I'm sure you did.
It's funny because you could see the Baylor team and coaches already walking towards the Texas sidelines to go shake hands and everything. It's right when he punches the chair.
Punches the chair.
Then you see a Texas coach go and grab his arm. Like you could see how tight he grabbed his arm too. Like, calm down, boy.
I love to see that. Hey, I want to know losing hurts you as much as it hurts me watching it.
Yep.
I've got to know that. And that we're invested. So great. I thought it was really good. Okay. Let's have our I'm Not Racist But segment. Okay. Let's first hear from Kobe Bryant, and it'll start us off. So it's Jordan Clarkson, who is playing really, really well now for Cleveland. They have a big game tonight coming up versus the Oklahoma City Thunder, the new-look LeBrons. And Jordan Clarkson is coming off the bench for the Cavs, playing really, really well, had another good game last game. And after the game, they were asking him, you know, hey, man, you're playing really aggressive. What's going on? Jordan Clarkson reveals something about Kobe Bryant that I'm sure Kobe Bryant does not want out there.
What do you remember about that play?
All I remember was Kobe telling me that I've been going to the hole like a light-skinned dude, so I got to start going like a dark-skinned. So when I seen the lane open up, that's all I remember.
You went to the hole like a dark-skinned dude?
Yeah.
Oh, wow! What? Like a dark-skinned dude in a light? So are we assuming Kobe Bryant does not respect Steph Curry going to the hole?
This is exactly what I was going to say, man.
Whoa.
I know for a fact he does not respect Steph Curry.
Wow. How do you know? You're a Kobe fan. How do you know? I'll give you the floor.
I've seen Steph Curry actually do an interview. And you know how these young NBA players, they don't really talk trash or anything like
that
anymore.
Yeah.
Kobe was still like one of the only guys talking trash in the league whenever these new players are still coming in.
This is true.
So Kobe is just talking trash to Steph Curry the whole time. And Steph Curry is openly saying this in an interview. And he's just talking trash to him the whole time, making fun of him that he's light-skinned, saying that he's not tough enough, all this stuff, man. All this stuff. And I believe Klay Thompson got the same treatment.
I mean, he's basically coming a little short of calling them house Negroes.
Like, pretty much.
What? Wow. All right, my mind is blown here. I know Kobe's got, you know, he's got a little past, of course. He's got a lot in his past. But I was shocked. I'm sure Kobe does not want this out there that he does not like or he does not respect light-skinned brothers going to the hole. There's no way Kobe is cool with that being out there. But, yeah, there you go. I had to play that because I don't think that people know how deep Kobe gets into his trash talk. And that's a great point you bring up. Kobe admitted that nobody, when he was, kind of the elder in the NBA, no players would talk trash back to him. Like, he would talk trash to LeBron, and he said LeBron would smile and laugh and walk away. As in, when he was playing with Michael Jordan would come right back at him.
Yeah.
Like, and drop probably some bomb on him and call him some derogatory name. Like, that's the old NBA. The new NBA is so politically correct. And I think that's a primary example that once Kobe was mentoring Jordan Clarkson, was like, man, you go to the hole like a light-skinned brother. It's like, whoa, whoa. What are you? LeLon, the balls are all light-skinned brothers. They go to the hole pretty good. I didn't even know that was a thing. All right. You know, I think I go to the hole like a light-skinned brother. I'll tell you the truth. I don't go to the hole very hard, so it's tough. I go to the hole like a light-skinned brother. I don't even know. I think I'm like caramel. I'm writing. Me and you, Ray, are like the same color.
Yeah, pretty much like the same color. Yeah.
Listen, BK right now is considered a light-skinned brother.
Yes, he is.
How dark BK
Toby would have no respect for BK right now.
Exactly. No respect for BK. He goes soft to the hole. All right. Speaking of Kobe and racial issues. Okay, Kobe admitted something I thought was interesting. He was talking to Undefeated, I believe it was. And you have this sound about Kobe in the protest. So Kobe was asked about whether he would participate in protests during the national anthem, much like a lot of NFL players decide to do against, different issues. Obviously, police brutality being one of them and racial discrimination. And here's what Kobe had to say.
I would have participated in it for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I would have gotten some flack for it, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. And I think what Colin's message was a very simple one. It's police brutality needs to stop. We need to take a look at that.
What kind of conversations, I guess, could you imagine taking place in the locker room as that was going on? Like, if you were still...
Well, I mean, from my experience in the locker room, it doesn't seem like any of the players that I've played with mm-hmm. certainly would have had issue with that. You know, I think we understand this is a free country. I think we have the right for peaceful protests. We have the right to... And by the way, I mean, from my point of view, I mean, that's what the flag represents as well. The ability to speak, the ability to voice your opinion, and everybody's entitled to that. So everybody getting up in arms about it, they're certainly in their right to do that, as we're certainly in our right to protest peacefully at that.
Okay. Okay, right. I don't think any players have protested this NBA season so far at all. Right?
No, definitely not.
And I think Major League Baseball had like one or two players that protested during the national anthem, but the NFL, it caught fire, and obviously it simmered down substantially. It's really strange. I do wonder, because the NBA has by far the most African-American demographic out of all the major sports, and yet it has basically been stated or understood that it's against NBA policy. And the players aren't going to do it. And there are players that are outspoken. Hell, Steph Curry and LeBron James and Greg Popovich, by the way.
Yeah.
They talk trash, usually beefing with the president mm-hmm. via social media. So it's very interesting that no players in the NBA have decided to cross that line to actually protest during the national anthem, making me believe that they're trying to just go about it in a different way. They saw the mistakes maybe that the NFL made handling the protest during the national anthem,
yeah.
And they're saying to themselves, no, we're going to approach it differently. Because the NBA is a players-led league. Like, it is the arguably even as much or more than Major League Baseball, the players run that league.
Yeah, definitely.
And yet none of those players who are predominantly African-American have decided to protest or join those demonstrations.
Yeah, well, they protest a little bit differently in the NBA. Like, I remember a few years back, Kobe and the Lakers were actually a team that wore the I Can't Breathe t-shirts during warm-ups and things like that.
LeBron James.
Yeah,
yes,
they would wear their hoodies.
Yeah.
For Trayvon Martin, they would wear their hoodies during warm-ups and things like that. So they wouldn't do anything during the national anthem, but they would still find a way to show their form of protest during warm-ups or other ways like that.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe it's as simple as the NBA players don't really feel as oppressed as NFL players. Think about the NFL system. No guaranteed contracts, really. You know what I mean? Like, they, in terms of workers' rights, they have fewer workers' rights than Major League Baseball or the NBA. And maybe it's one of those things where, you know, the NFL, with Dictator Goodell, as we call him, all right, laying down a hammer on disciplinary issues and all these different types of things, that the NFL players actually do feel, and I'm not saying that they're justified or not, do feel more oppressed than other leagues. You know what I mean? Because it is. The NFL is as close to capitalism as it gets. You get cut, you're done. You know what I mean? The NBA guaranteed contracts. They get cut, but hell, guys go to jail and keep their money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's guaranteed money.
Yeah.
The NFL, you got a certain amount of it guaranteed, but not the entire thing.
You join the NFL, you might as well be in the military. It's like they own you.
They essentially do. So I wonder if it's just like the more of a feeling like they are you know, they have fewer rights, and maybe that's part of why they feel it's a necessity to, you know, protest or have those demonstrations during the national anthem. Because the NBA, we expected it to spread to the NBA. It was like, man, wait till the NBA, wait till LeBron James gets on this. Hasn't happened. And Kobe Bryant saying, I would have done it. I wonder how Kobe would have been received. You're a Kobe fan. Mm-hmm. Would Kobe have gotten a lot of backlash? Would people have been like, because people love Kobe. They love Kobe. And we're talking about Kobe got dirt back in his past, and people love him that much. Would this have disgraced his legacy?
I don't think it would have disgraced him. It definitely would have made major news. You know, I can see LA fans supporting him, but other teams from around the country, I could see giving him a hard time. I don't really think it would have disgraced his legacy because, you know, I feel like Colin Kaepernick was a perfect person to go through this and to be kicked out of the league and all this because he wasn't really anybody. He wasn't really a star. You know, he wasn't even starting on the team that he was doing while he was doing his protests. If it was a major athlete, like if it was like Tom Brady or somebody or Aaron Rodgers, somebody like that, he probably wouldn't have got anywhere near the flack that Colin Kaepernick got.
Talking about different superstardom level. But, you know, I mean, Colin Kaepernick wasn't a scrub. I mean,
he wasn't a scrub,
you know, I mean,
by any means.
He had been to a Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, like, he wasn't a scrub by any means, but he wasn't Kobe Bryant, you know?
He had been to multiple NFC title games. I mean, they're making him seem like now he was some sort of scrub. Colin Kaepernick, man, that's a scrub. Have you looked at the NFL starting quarterbacks out there?
That's true.
Colin Kaepernick is better than, I would say, a third of NFL starting quarterbacks, and you guys know that. Come on.
Yeah. NBA finds other ways to protest, like I was saying
Great
earlier.
Point.
They do it during the ESPYs as well. They did a big old thing during the ESPYs with Chris Paul, LeBron, D. Wade, and Carmelo, I believe, that did the speech and all that during the ESPYs.
And Adam Silver is a much more progressive owner than Roger Goodell or even Rob Manfred, in terms of, it's not Arnold, commissioner, I should say, rather than Rob Manfred or even Roger Goodell, of course. And one of the other things, and now we got to go break here, and I want to come back and we'll talk about Steve Kerr either being an arrogant little pissant or being a coaching genius. And if you don't want one of the balls, then you can't get none of these balls. We'll talk about that, too, when we come back. All right, all of that and more right here on the Rodcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Thank you guys for hitting us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Numerous texters inform us that Joe Schwartz from Waco, Texas, is the young man who was so frustrated with the loss to Baylor. It makes sense. He's from Waco.
Yeah, so that's what it was. He had to stick it to them, man. Yeah. He couldn't get it.
Exactly. That makes a lot. It makes sense. That makes a lot more sense. Yeah, so apparently that young man was so frustrated he punched a chair. God bless you. Don't feel bad. We with you, Joe. Joe, you're a Texas hero. We feel you. We're going to have that gif. All right, is it a gif or a gif? Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Exactly, doesn't matter. We're going to have that and Tom Herman's, like, I don't know, his
backpack
dance, whatever, to secure the – whatever Shub Herman was doing in the Texas Bowl. We'll have that and you punching the chair. Those should be gifs or gifs that all Longhorn fans have readily available to them so you can just randomly tweet them out. All right, somebody do that. All right, and somebody get that done and then send them off. Send them to me at Rod Davis or send them to Ray at RayFrom361 because those are two really, really – I mean, you're talking about gifts that I really, truly believe are representative of how Longhorn fans have felt about their football and basketball programs this year. All right, basketball real quick. Steve Kerr. Okay, so Steve Kerr and the Warriors beat the hell out of the Phoenix Suns 129-83. Now, and Steve Kerr has a personal relationship with Phoenix. Remember, they drafted him, and he also was the GM there for like 4 years, I believe. So apparently during this game, because they were beating the snot out of him, it wasn't a big deal, he let some of the players coach the team during the huddles and during like the timeouts. He let Andre Iguodala run the huddle. Then later let David West get a coaching nod in the huddle. Draymond Green broke out the clipboard too. And apparently some of the players didn't really like it. You know, there are some players who didn't like it, but some Suns players, that didn't like it. Jared Dudley said it shows a lack of respect for an opponent, and maybe right now we don't deserve respect. Yeah. He says, when you keep getting beat by 40, teams won't respect you, but it's up to us to change that. I can't believe he argued against and for himself in the same statement. Yeah, you don't deserve respect. You got beat by 40. As Steve Kerr met with the Suns coach Dre Triano, and Kerr said, I told Jay afterwards that it had nothing to do with about being disrespectful. It had to do with reaching my team. I have not reached my team very well this last month. They're tired of my voice. I'm tired of my voice. It's been a long haul these last few years, and I wasn't reaching them. And we just figured it was probably a good night to pull a trick out of a hat and do something different. Steve Kerr said that they had lost. I want to say they won three in a row recently, but prior to the three in a row they just won, they had lost three of the last four prior to that. So Steve Kerr's been dealing with this, and he's been looking for a time to break it out. And this is a coaching trick that he's using. And I got to tell you, I don't think it's arrogant. I don't think it's I think it's brilliant. Remember, I talked about this yesterday. John DeFilippo, the quarterbacks coach for the Eagles during their last their Super Bowl win here, he said about him, his relationship with Nick Foles. He said, I sat down with him and made him list for me and all of our coaching staff what concepts he liked best. He said, because I'm not myself, Frank Wright, Doug Peterson, we're not the ones out there throwing it. He is. So we sat down and spent time with Nick formulating game plans on what he felt comfortable doing. When I was playing on the 48s with Coach Aquino, Coach Aquino would often bring us on the sideline during a huddle, and he wouldn't always run the huddles. It'd be Ahmad Brooks. It'd be Quentin Jammer. Sometimes it'd be me ranting about, hey, man, they're running across. They're picking us. We got to do this. We got to do that. And Coach Aquino's just there as a mediator, like, yeah. I agree with all of it. This is good. This is good. Go ahead, guys. Do your thing. Because Coach Aquino always said, I'm breaking you down. I'm going to break you down and rebuild you in my own image as a coach. So by the time I'm done with you, you're supposed to be on that field as a coach. See, me and you see the same exact things. And when you come off the sideline, you got a better view than me and go, Coach, they're actually faking with the three-step read. They're setting us up for this or whatever you see. And most of the time when I came off the field with the best coach I probably have ever had in Coach Aquino, he would always want our opinion first. Before he even started yelling at us, he would get our opinion. Then he would yell at us and cuss us out if we did something stupid. But they want our opinion about what happened. What are you seeing? And even Deshaun Watson, we talked about this yesterday, Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien, when Deshaun Watson was healthy and that offense was the best offense in the NFL, Deshaun Watson said, Bill O'Brien, he's a player's coach. He understands we're the ones playing, so we're seeing different things than he's seeing. He loves to take advice and tips from players. The best coaches listen to the players. You got to. They're out there seeing it. You're just observing. So I think this is something everybody should do. I don't even know why it's something new. I would want all my players to be able to coach the team if necessary. Because they know the concepts and they're so familiar with the culture. That's brilliant. I think Steve Kerr, that's just the way that he's better than every other coach. And now people are like, oh, it's disrespectful. He's an arrogant little pissant. No, he's not. He's just better than you. And you're mad about it. You didn't think of it first. All right? It's a great idea and you didn't think of it first.
Yeah, I've seen LeBron grab the clipboard plenty of times.
Come on now. Because is there a coach out there that's more basketball savvy than LeBron? Probably not. But him and Pat Riley together? Brilliant. Because Pat Riley listened to LeBron. You know what I mean? I think it's one of the things, it's a lot of give and take there. I did not get to the balls. I will get to the balls. If you can't have one ball, you can't have none of these balls. That's what LeVar Ball is saying. I know, that's a lot of balls. We'll come back, talk about that, and the rundown. All that and more right here on the Rodcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260.